All right, Steve Phillips coming up here in just a moment. The Blue Jays, the reports are out there. They're in on everyone. They're being aggressive. Zach Wheeler, they wanted him. Michael Pineda, they wanted him. Well, Wheeler ends up signing in Philly. Pineda ends up signing in Minnesota. So there are still some arms out there, mm-hmm. like some pretty good arms. Dallas Keuchel's out there. He's a guy they might be looking into. There's a number of veterans that can give you some innings and give you some production. But at some point, they got to actually pull the trigger and convince one of these guys to come up here, or they have to overpay to make them come up here. Basically, don't give them any other option. We're gonna overpay you by $10 million, and I don't know if this front office can do it because I don't know if they're programmed that way. Like Shapiro and Atkins, they are so calculated. They have a formula. They look at it, and I don't see them, you know, diverting that.
No,
I don't see
somebody on that mound, though.
Well, they have to, but I don't. Who's it going to be?
Well, let's ask our TSN MLB analyst Steve Phillips. What do you make of the offseason so far for the Blue Jays?
Well, it's been rather quiet, I would say, and you know, I mean, I think that what they've done is wait. You know, we've seen them the last couple of years sort of what we call, you know, in as an executive bottom feed, where they sort of wait for everybody else to come off the board, and then the guys who are remaining try to get some bargains, hope that they can catch lightning in a bottle, trade them at the deadline, and get some prospects in return. And I think that, you know, they're saying the right things, that they're going to be aggressive in the marketplace, that they've got financial flexibility, that they're going to be in on guys, they're going to consider everybody. That's good. They should do all of those things. The question is, you know, what does that consideration, what are the limits on it? Where are the lines drawn in the sand? Because, you know, the one thing to be clear, you know, when you're going to rebuild and you're going to make that transition from being a rebuilding franchise to a competitive franchise, and then from a competitive franchise to a playoff contender, you know, you've got different levels of aggressiveness and willingness to spend money. I look at the Jays as, you know, I don't see them next year as being a playoff contender. The problem is, you know, if you want to be a playoff contender in 2021 or 2022, you have to start looking for pieces that can be part of a playoff contending team now. That if you wait until you think you're ready, the players may not be there that year. They might not be the right fit. They might not be the right guys. The players have the right to choose. They may say no. They may want to go somewhere else. Geography may matter. Money may not matter. They may not want to go to Toronto. They may not like the manager. They may not. So you've got to give yourself every opportunity to land people a year too early instead of not getting them in the time frame that you want. And so, you know, supposedly they ran on Zach Wheeler, and the Zach Wheeler money, listen, it went beyond what I thought was reasonable. 5 years, $118 million. I thought he might get 5 years at $100 million, and I wouldn't have given him that. I mean, the reality is he's had a 107 ERA plus over the last 2 years when he's actually been pretty good, and that's 7% better than average. And so I wouldn't have given him $25 million a year. He got paid. And look, I like him. I take him on my team. But a guy like Wheeler got paid for what they think he can become. They didn't pay him that money for him to be Zach Wheeler. They paid him that money to be the next Garrett Cole. That's how he got that money to go to Philadelphia. And, you know, they said they were willing to spend stupid money. So I get that maybe the Jays were in, they weren't going to get there. I think the challenge they face now is, you know, like I really look at them more as a playoff contender in 2022 than I do in 2021. And so you can go get Hyunjin Ryu and you can go get Dallas Keuchel and sign them to 3-year deals. But by the time you're ready to be a playoff contender, they're going to be in the third year of the 3-year deal that you give them. And, you know, you wonder as they get a little bit older, and Ryu particularly, how much more effective they're going to be in the third year of a 3-year deal. So I see them in on both those guys either way. I do. And I think they give them a 3-year deal. But others may be willing to go more, certainly for Keuchel. I think they're going to be in a guy like Alex Wood. I think Rick Porcello may be an option for them. And so there are some pitchers out there, but I think they battle for pitchers who want to go to a playoff contender. They're not that team yet. So a guy like Cole Hamels didn't fit. And then the question is, are they willing to spend the money? If it takes money to get a guy away from some other city, are they willing to go to that extra level? I'm like you. I'm not convinced they are.
Well, they're also dealing with Shapiro and Atkins, the front office. They're dealing with a PR battle here in Toronto where their approval rating is pretty low.
No one's going into the building.
Not many people are showing up. A lot of people bought into the whole blow it up, rebuild kind of stuff, but they've shaved money, and money has always been an integral part of the conversation up here because the ownership is loaded, but they're limited in terms of what they're willing to spend. And when you look at the way the rotation sets up right now, you know, Scott Mitchell wrote this on TSN.ca. Now, again, this is today. It doesn't mean this is what's going to happen at the end of March. But he has it, Chase Anderson, Matt Shoemaker, Ryan Borucki, Trent Thornton, Anthony Kay. I can't imagine there's a worse rotation in baseball. If there is, maybe there's a handful. Maybe a handful. But don't sign at a minimum one name that you can rely on to give you something, I don't know if they can survive in this market. I really don't. People are going to freak if they don't do something.
Yeah, I get it. And you're right.
And they know that too. I'm sure they know that.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Now here's their belief. Their belief is that they believe in their plan. And they believe that if their plan is right, and they believe it will be, that when it finally does come to fruition, everybody's going to forget how much they dislike them and how frustrated they are by the process and how they don't trust that they're going to be able to do it and they don't trust their judgment. They keep going back to, and I understand why, they keep going back to, we believe we're doing the right thing. We believe in the end we'll get the result we want. And at some point, everybody else is going to jump on the bandwagon and get there. And there's going to be some pain during the process. There's going to be some disgruntled fans during the process. There's going to be people who don't believe or trust in what we're doing. But in the end, we're going to get there. And we're in that process right now. Yet they know that they're going to, in order to be better, they absolutely need to add some starting pitching. And I think the reality is that there's a bit of a hurdle to get some guys to go to Toronto. For some, still, it's just, I got to go across the border, and I got to go to, and it's a hassle. When guys who play there love it, players still have some reluctance. And sometimes you have to overpay a guy to get him to go until you become a cool place again when players want to play for it because they see how much fun it is. I think that's where they're sort of stuck right now. And the reality is, in order to get to where you want to go, at some point you have to pay more than what the value, more than what the analytics say. Sometimes you have to take more of a chance to get there. The question is, will this be the year that they do it?
Brian's talked about the fans and nobody going to the ballpark. I look at the young star players that they have. You don't want them to become young star players that just lose every year. So you have to put some kind of support system in for them so they understand what winning is going to look like down the road. It's not just losing season. You got to support them too, don't you?
Yes, I think you're 100%. And so, you want to teach them how to learn at the major, to win at the major league level, right? That's what Charlie Montoyo wants to do. He wants to teach players how to learn at the major league level, but at some point you have to support them to do it. They can't, with the rotation they have, they're going to be better than the Orioles. That's it. They're going to probably be better than the Tigers. And then you start to say, all right, well, then how many other teams can we beat? Because you love the young position players, but, pitching is what it's going to come down to, both in the rotation and the bullpen. And they need to add some answers. So, honestly, I think they need to add two starters who can be part of the plan this year, part of the plan in 2021 and 2022. And if it's maybe beyond, maybe it's a guy with a three-year deal with an option for a fourth year. But I absolutely agree. They need to add a couple of starting pitchers. You want your young guys to be protected. The only expectation I have for any young pitcher is to be a fifth starter, which is, mid-4 ERA, a guy that pitches about 500 baseball and, gives you a chance to win every other time. You're going to get a good game. You're going to get a clunker. You're going to get a good couple good games. You're going to get a clunker. Yeah. That's the only fair expectation for young pitchers. You don't win that way. You need predictability in that rotation to protect the young guys so that the bullpen's protected to come in, when they need them with the young guys on the mound. And that's how you start to build winning and that mentality, and it protects your young pitchers to give them a chance to try to get out of the game with a chance to get a W to build some confidence. So, they know what they want to do. The question is, will they make the right decisions throughout this process to execute the plan to get the ultimate result?
with Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. So the report is out there that the Yankees have been given the green light to give Gerrit Cole the biggest contract for a pitcher in MLB history. Are you buying it? And if so, what kind of numbers, what kind of term are we talking about here?
Yeah, I absolutely buy it. I think Brian Cashman recognizes that it can't only be about the analytics for him right now. He's walked away from other pitchers, right? They walked away from Patrick Corbin. They wanted to get 4 years. He ended up being 6 years. And he knows that to ultimately get the World Series, they're gonna have to go beyond the comfort level and take a risk. You have to do that if you're going to win. You can't just keep saying, I'm going to draw the line right here, because there will always be somebody else that will get the player, and you'll keep settling for something less, and you can't win that way. Sometimes you have to get the guy. Cashman's going to go for it. I think it starts at 7 times 35. 35 takes you as the highest AAV for a pitcher. 7 years, I think, is realistic for what Cole is going to want. He may want 8. I don't think they're going to go there. The question is, how much over $35 million? I think it comes down to the Yankees and the Angels, and I do. I think the Yankees are going to win. They'll put the biggest offer on the table, and Cole has said geography is not the sole factor that will lead to this decision. You know, and if I'm Gerrit Cole, here's the thing. If I'm the Yankees, you know what I say to Gerrit Cole? We'll pay for California to come to New York. Forget that. You want your family? You want friends? We'll pay for them to all fly to New York and see you. We'll fly California to you to come play in New York. We'll pay you to play in New York. Come here. I think that the Yankees end up getting them.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, that's 245. So you think that number, like, yeah. That's, we were talking about it earlier, thinking, like, is this, you know, 275, 280. He only gets that if he gets the eighth year.
If he gets the eighth year. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I think that you know, I mean, look, it may be the Angels and Yankees push each other a little bit up over $35 million, but at some point, all you're doing is making the other side pay more. It you know, and where agents make their money is, you know, getting the extra year, right? So that's where they make it. Not so much the money per year. That's getting that extra year. Can Scott Boras get, you know, the Yankees to go to an eighth year on the deal? Now, Cashman might come in at 5 or 6. He's not going to want to do 7. I think he'll go to 7. I think he'll have to go to 7 to get the deal done. The question is, will he feel like he has to go to 8 to get it? And that's when you start to get to the 275 range and 270 range, where, you know, you start talking about, you know, crazy, crazy, crazy. Although, listen, I mean, this is just 7 times 35 is absolutely unbelievable, and it would be by far the biggest contract for any starting pitcher.
Who wanted that information leaked that the Yankees would have an open checkbook? Would that be Boras? Would that be Cashman? What party wanted leaked?
That they're Boras. Oh,
yeah,
that's Boras.
Gotta
yeah.
be Boras.
Yeah, if you're Scott Boras, you want it out there that the Yankees are in, even if they're in. You know, and here's the thing. You know, what Scott's really good is Scott doesn't believe he ever lies about anything. Because what he'll say is, you know, I've got two teams in. Because a team will call and say, listen, if the numbers look, I like the guy, I'd like to have him, I don't think I can afford him. If it's not there the way you want and starts to fall back a little bit, give me a call. And so that team's in, as far as Scott's concerned, even though they're not in at the highest levels. And so, you know, there will be, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams in on Gerrit Cole, but I think it's really going to come down to two teams. The Dodgers would have interest, but they don't want to do the 7-year deal. They might do 4 times 40. To try to get him 160 for 4 years, you know, do more for a shorter period of time. That's what the story is, that the reports are that their interest is in Rendon is a shorter term deal, but for a lot more money per year, trying to sort of entice him to, you know, see if he can't maximize for the long term by taking a short term deal. So we'll see, but definitely Boras wants it out there that the Yankees are in. They want every large market team in on all their guys to try to run up the price on every player.
Great stuff, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Terrific, guys. Thanks.
Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst.